We apologize about that confusion. I don't know who's more confused. I was confused also. I think the plan this year, as Rabbi Cohen said, was that on the weeks of the Bechina, we'll have some shiur misakeim of the previous parak. And rather than give a shiur klali or something that you probably work on a shiur, I thought maybe we'd zero in on some topics that might be a little bit more halacha maisa. First parak is a little bit more challenging because you have a lot of the Rashi prakim of Avos Nizikin, and then a lot of the details are fleshed out in the second through the sixth prakim. I was just curious, does anyone have the Frankel Bava Kamma anymore?
You mean?
The Frankel Gemara.
No.
I see looks of bewilderment. when I was in Karabiyavna, Tafshin Zion, this just came out, we learned Bava Kamma, and everyone got a Frankel Gemara because that was the hottest thing on the market. But I guess they sold out and didn't reprint. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara in that Pez Bava Mabez has the din of Rebbe Nasa. The Gemara presents Rebbe Nasa in the following context. The Gemara says, Hashad Amar Palga Niska Kanasa, and we also establish that Mishuna is considered to be Karen Tam, Tati Nezek, which is a Knas. Haikal Badachal Imri Mishuna Dachla Tarnagola Mishunahu Velo Magvina Babava. Okay. Fine. And then the Gemara says, that regardless, anyway, you sliced it, you put the guy in Kherim, if there was a Davar Hamazik, until he neutralizes the Davar Hamazik, person have an evil dog or a shaky ladder in his house, the pasuk by the mitzvah of Makkah. So Nasan says that it applies to a Kalav Ra and a Sulam Ra'ua as well. What is the gather of this din of Rav Nasan, the application of Velosa Simdam in Bevesacha to these situations beyond the technical din of Makkah, which I think Yaakov discussed with me. We discussed this once in the past, the parameters of Makkah around the end of Hilchas Ritayah, which we'll talk a little bit about now. The Me'iri and Daphne Aleph and the Mari Kass, quoting the Shittim Gebesis here on Daf Tesvav, and we'll see more prominently in the Rambam, seem to assume that this din of Rav Nasan is limited to situations of Hezek that have the potential of resulting in death. The Rambam writes, Paragit Aleph Raseach Halacha Dalit, Echad agag v'echad kol davar sheyesh ba sakana v'roi sheyikashel ba adam v'yamilas kigon shehaisel be'er o bor b'chatzero v'in sheyesh ben mayim v'in sheyim ben mayim chayiv lasas ha'in chulia gavo asarit fachim o lalas l'kiso y'kidei shel yipal ba adam v'yamilas v'chei kol michshol sheyesh ba sakanas nefashos mitzas asei lasiro l'ishamri mimenu l'izar v'davar yafa yafa shenemar. So the Rambam says this is a mitzvah asay to remove any michshol that has a sakanas nefashas possibility. So the Rambam writes that anytime a person has a davar mazik that has the potential of causing death, there's a mitzvah asay to remove it, and if a person fails to remove it, he violates a law of lo sasim damim. So this is the extension of din of Makkah. This seems to be our Rav Nasan, who extends it more broadly based on lo sasim, but the Rambam limits the extension to something with a sakanas nefashos possibility. And that's what we assume in Shulchan Aruch as well. The very last din of Shulchan Aruch is this din of Dvarim Hamazikim. Chosha Mishvat Simin Taf Kaf Zayin. Okay, last time of Kosher Mishra is in Tav Kaf Zayin. Anyone know what the last time of the Torah is? Anyone take a guess?
Tav Kaf Zayin?
Nope. I wouldn't be asking the question if that was the answer. The last item in the Torah is Tav Kav Vav. There's also a Tav Kav Zayin in the Torah. I think I once knew why, but I forgot. So if anyone wants to research that, there's no notation at the end of the fantasy tour. I think I once knew what the story was, but I don't recall the story is why there's no Simon Tav Kav Zayin in the Torah. Either it's May, we do have Simon Tav Kav Zayin in Shulchan Aruch. And the Chabad writes, basically, Noke Lashon Rambam, Kol Michshol Sheyeshba Sakanis Tefashas Mitzvah Sasei Lasiro, skipping, and in Lohi Sereniach HaMishol Samavim Lidei Sakana Bito Mitzvah Sasei V'yavar Belo Sasim Dam. So basically, Lashon Rambam, Simon Tav Kav Zayin, Seif Zayin, through Seif Ches. So clear on the Rambam, pretty much in the Meiri and the Marikas as well, that this din of Reb Nosson, as an extension of the din of Makkah, is limited to situations of a potential Sakanas Nefashos ramification. Shuvas Dvar Avram points out, Shuvas Dvar Avram, Chelek Aleph, the very end of Simon Lamed Zayin. Chelek Aleph, Simon Zayin is a long Simon, it's the last, I think the second to last Os. Chelek Aleph, Simon Lamed Zayin, Os Kakeh. He points out that this seems to be the Pashup Shah of the Gemara and the Aleph. The Gemara there in the Makkah Sugya discusses Makkah specifically in the context of a war Asara, of a an elevation of Asara situation where you have a Shir Misa, you have 10 Tvachim, which is a Shir Misa, and that's where the Sakhi of a Makkah. And so, to the extent that Reb Nosson is quoting the same Pasuk, seems logical that his din should apply the Kelev Ras Sulam Ruas, a situation where there's a Sakanas Nefashos possibility. Just to know, this may be a machlokas of the Mefarshim of the Pasuk. Lo sasim demim b'vesecha, the Mechaber, anyone who hasn't taken Steinbecker test in the last few years know what the Mechaber writes? What the Targum writes? Targum unklas on lo sasim damim b'vesecha, how does he translate damim? Ketala. So that seems pretty clearly in this Rambam camp that Makkah, and arguably by extension, Reb Nosson's din applies to situations where the probably the more literal reading of the Pasuk, where there's a potential of loss of life. Reb Sadduga on the Torah there, and I'll trust an accurate translation from the Arabic, but I can't tell you what it says in the original, has Michshol. Lo sasim michshol v'vesecha. Arguably, michshol is broader than ketala. Could say it's a michshol that's maybe l'deivisa, but pashtus is more that michshol is anything that could damage, even short of chiyuv misa. That shuvas dvar avam chelek aleph sim lamed zayin demonstrates that this is machlokas the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. He notes that Sefer HaChinuch of the Mitzvah of Makkah Mitzvah Tavkuf Memvav indicates that the din of Makkah and by extension, Nosson's application applies to situations of Nezek as well, that there's a responsibility to prevent Nezek even where there's no Sakanas Nefashos per se. This may be clear in the Sefer Yireim, she doesn't quote. The way the Dvar Avraham presents it, he says, he noticed this Machlokas Ramu Chinuch, and he's a little bit surprised that no one else has picked up on it beforehand. The formulation may be clear in the Yireim. Yireim Mitzvah Simon Reish Yud quotes, he begins with the Damim Lo Sasim. He writes, Lo Linyan Makkah Levadi Berkasev Elo Kol Davar Mazik. So that requirement of Lo Sasim Damim Beveisach applies more broadly than Makkah. It applies to any Davar Mazik. And then he's Misakim at the end, Lamanu Shemusharim b'nei Yisrael shelo mahamid kol davar hamevi lidei hezek b'batei. that there's an asara not to preserve, not to owe, not to have anything that causes a hezek in your house. Again, that seems to be broader than just a sakanas nefashos situation. Rav Avram thinks that maybe the hechreach of the Sefer Chinuch, and perhaps by extension the Yireim, as opposed to the Gemara Nun Aleph, which simply read limits makat to situations of a bor asara or a elevation of asara where you have a shir misa, our context here of Rav Nosson, the Gemara Nun Tes Vav Amud Beis, invokes Rav Nosson in the discussion of Kalba da'achal imri v'shinra da'achal tarnagola. These are not situations of sakanas nefashos. I mean, maybe sakanas nefashos for the tarnagol, but not sakanas nefashos for us. So it sounds like the Gemara understands, at least in the context in which it brings Rav Nosson, the Gemara is invoking Rav Nosson in what seems to be a broader context than simply sakanas nefashos. That's how the Dvar Ram presents the Machlokas, what he refers to as Machlokas the Rambam, and the Chinuch, as far as the parameters of Maka and Rav Nosson. Now it is interesting to note, back to the Rambam, which again is quoted in Lalach and Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam presents both an essay and a los essay. The los essay slash bitul nisas essay is our Gemara of los asim de mim v'secha, but the Rambam also quotes an essay So that's interesting. What's the end of that pasuk? Right? So the context is remembering Har Sinai. What does that have anything to do with our topic of Hasaras Mifshal? And the Rambam is not quoting any Gemara here, or any Chazal, so far as we can tell. The Gaon is Mitzayim, the Gaon there in Shulchan Aruch, very lesson, and again, Tav Kavzayin, Sivkat and Vav, is Mitzayim the Gemara in Brachos. Brachos Amaviz, if it's Barak. The Gemara there has a story. Maisa v'chasid echad sheyem ispala v'derach, so a certain righteous man was davening at the side of the road or on the road. A officer came and he greeted him. Okay? So this Hegman waited until the Chassid Echa finished davening. He had enough respect for that. Don't you know what it says in your Torah? It says, watch after yourself. Be careful. Uchsev, v'nishmartem ol v'nashaseichem. Ishtenasati lecha shalom, lama lefzartu li shalom. Imayisi chaseich rosh tabesayif, niya tevei asam chamiyadi. You didn't say hello to an officer. That's potentially a capital offense. I could have chopped off your head, and you'd be no worse off, better off. So then the chassid responds, Mashal, Melech Basar Vedan, Melech Machem Lachem, fine. So the Gaon is Mitzayin this Gemara, where the Hegmon quotes this Pasuk. Okay. Does that mean the Hegmon knew how to teach the Pasuk properly? Maybe the Hegmon's also quoting the Pasuk out of context. And it seems like the Hegmon was wrong. The chassid was vindicated. Yeah.
What was that, the Pasuk he quoted?
So that we get. I'm sorry?
And then also by
Yosina. This is also by Yosina.
So,
Yosina
is not
going
to
be
quoted by
Yosina. True, okay. Very good. Good. It's a curiosity. I mean, it could be. So you're correct that we do more commonly quote in the Shvarta Rolan Ashrasekhan in a lot of context. Even though that's also in the context of Har Sinai, good. And maybe the Hegman did know what he was talking about. So the Gaon quotes that at least as a precedent.
Can you just, like, if you're dead, you can't remember seeing it.
Aha. I hear. Okay. So that's probably what the Hegmon.
That's
what the Hegmon had in mind.
I don't know what Hegmon.
I hear. Okay. I hear. Nichas Chinuch just pointed out there in Tafkuf Membav that the Rama must have had some makor for this that got lost. That got lost sometime between the Rama and us. Okay, that's I leave that as a ha'ara. I'm not sure beyond the bones at sea, and I'm not sure what else there is to say. The other thing, just to figure out in context, one of Rav Nosson's examples is Lo Yigadol Adam Kalav Ra. That is a shtim with the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us Ayin Tes Amud Beis, a series of animals that one is not allowed to raise either ever or in certain places. In the list, Lo Yigadol Adam Es HaKalav Elim Kein Ayakasher Bishal Shalas. Mishnah Ayin Tes Amud Beis, a person may not raise a dog unless it is tied up. So Rav Nosson says that a person can raise a Kalav Ra. The Mishnah says you can't raise, sounds like, any dog unless it's tied up. Does that also only apply to a Kalav Ra? And if you tie it up, does that solve the problem for Rav Nosson? Pashas, he would have said if you tied it up, it should solve the problem for Rav Nosson. We'll come back to Rashi, and then he doesn't say that, right? Rashi says in our Sivya, Adam Asalik is Ekashi Ahargei. But let's leave Rashi aside. I probably would have said, without Rashi, that if you tie it up, if you neutralize the Hezek, then you're not in violation of Lo Sasim Damim Vesecha. But if that's the case, then what does that add to the Mishnah of Hayakasha B'Shal Shalas? So it's interesting. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah and Ayin Tes straight. Niske Mama Perakei Halacha Tes. V'chein Asur Chachamim L'Gazel Chazirim B'chal Malkam. That's another one of the cases in the Mishnah there. The person is not allowed to raise a dog unless it's tied up with a chain. But if you're in a border town and you need the dog for protection, that's okay. If you need a watchdog, then as long as it's tied on the day, you can let it out at night to protect you. Okay, so that's an unequivocal, unqualified statement. Lo sakalav elam kenei akash v'shal shalas, barring a watchdog on the border town. And interesting, the Rambam, when he quotes Rav Nosson, doesn't quote a kalav as an example per se. So there's no discussion of kalav or kalav ra in the context of Rav Nosson. It sounds like there is a blanket din that a person shouldn't be megadel any kalav in his house unless it is tied up. Also worth noting, and I was looking around to see if anyone points this out, I was looking at this state sofim, so he quotes the Torah Tamima, points this out in the pasuk there. The Mechaber quotes the Lashon HaRambam Hilchos Niske Mamon Heites verbatim, except for one word. The Mechaber in Simon Tav Tes Sif Gemo Asu Gadol Kelav Ra Elam Kainu Asur Mishal Shalos Shel Barzel. Actually, not exactly verbatim, because the Rambam doesn't say Shel Barzel. Right, the Rambam just says Shel Shalos. Okay. Presumably, Barzel is somewhat Lav Dafka. But the Mechaber says Asul Gadol Kelav Ra. The Rambam says Asul Gadol Kelav. If it's Kelav Ra, so then the restriction of the Mishnah Ayin Tes is more limited. That's like Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson says you can't have anything that's going to be Mazik. If you're kosher in Bishashalas, that obviates the problem of the potential Hezek. That only applies to a Kelav Ra, a Kelav that has a propensity to be Mazik. What are those? What is the potential hesed of Kelav? So Rashi there writes, and I attest, as a Kelav, nation no sheikh, uminabeyach, umapelas isha miyaraso. It bites, it barks, and it could cause a woman to miscarry, presumably from the bark. So whether its bark is worse than its bite or its bite is worse than its bark, it sounds like either of those are potentially a problem. Many of the other Rishonim, the Yireim that we just quoted, Hagos Maimini on the Rambam, Yamsha Shlomo has this approach as well, Simen Mem Hei in the 7th Parak, assume that the Mishnah Ayin Tes is referring specifically to a Kelav Ra. There's no absolute issur of any Kelav if it's not a Kelav that doesn't have a propensity to damage. Yamsha Shlomo thinks that Yirei Shemayim should be Machmir anyway, perhaps. But you already see the Rama here notes in his time seemed like there was more of a tendency to have dogs to protect. That just like the din of some Sfar, if you're on a border town, you could have a dog to protect yourself. So where we're Shriyim Ben Agoyim, you could have a dog to protect yourself. Upok Chazi Mai Amadvar. Yonirim, Ukalav Rash, Yishlacha, Shiazik, Bene Adam, the Asalagalo. Unless it's a Kelav Ra, a Kelav Ra that has a propensity to damage, that you'd have to properly secure. Okay, but that Rashi is interesting. The Rashi on Tesvav, Adam Salik Azeka Sheyahar Game. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, the Mishnah Tes says it's enough to tie it up. Here, tying it up isn't enough. So it sounds like there are different gradations of evil dogs. If you have a super evil dog, a super Kelav Ra, that there's no way out but to kill it, and then your low grade Kelav Ra, where tying it up would be sufficient. We just mentioned for the historical record, since the Gemara invoked the Shinur Dachla Tarnagola and the notion of Mishuna Karen, or Mishuna being Karen and being Chatinezek, the story that happened when we learned, last time Yeshiva learned the first parak of Bava Kamma in Tav Shin Nun Tes. No. Yeah, Tav Shin Nun Tes, last time Yeshiva learned the first parak of Bava Kamma. Rabbi Willig was visiting one of his prominent Balabatim, who I just spoke to last night to confirm the details of the story, which I didn't remember 100%. And this Balabas had a cat that jumped at Rabbi Willig and tore his suit. So Rabbi Willig insisted that the Baal Bas is Pater, and the Baal Bas insisted that he was Chayiv. So they agreed to go to a Din Torah. The Din Torah is supposed to be, so the details I'm a little, I don't remember 100%. Rav Shechter is supposed to sit on the Din Torah. I think the late, this Baal Bas told me that the late Rabbi Levine, and I don't have full confirmation who the third one was. He didn't remember 100%, so I won't mention names. And then it just got delayed and delayed, and eventually Rabbi said, well, they figured out how to sew up the rip in the suit, so it wasn't okay, but the Din Torah never happened. So we were all excited at the time, anticipating this Din Torah, but it didn't happen. So for the historical record, be careful what happens when you're learning the Sefta. Okay. Let's talk a little bit that some other first para connections to the following issue that that we dealt with a couple years ago at the Din Torah. There are a number of issues that this brought up. We're not going to get to all of them. This might just be the Gedder Sam Rashi Prakim. A few years ago, I sat in the Din Torah where one of the issues that emerged, it wasn't the main issue, it wasn't the main tefiah, but one of the tefiahs was there was an employee whose employment had been terminated by his employer, someone was fired, and he had one of the claims against the former employer was at the time these people were involved in technology. At the time that his contract or his employment was terminated, the employer wiped all the data from his personal device, which had also been connected to the company system. And not only did he wipe the company data, but he wiped personal data as well. And he claimed that there were certain losses that were incurred from the wiped data that the employer had no right to wipe. So some of the issues that this raises, how do we look at digital hezek? Earlier literature, earlier being from like 10 years ago, some of the initial literature on the topic dealt with the viruses, and how do we view the hezek of an unleashed virus, but also relevant to wiping data. Is it direct hezek? Is it grama garmi? Is it possibly hezek shenu nikar? And what would we do if it's hezek shenu nikar? And also, one of the other issues raised is how, if at all, do you evaluate hezek, evaluate damages, where the damage incurred doesn't have absolute marketplace value, but is only valuable to the person himself. There are different flavors of that, as we'll discuss. But in the particular case here, the person had certain personal data that no one else would have any use for, but was potentially valuable to him and may even have caused a certain financial loss. So what we'll talk about in our limited time today is the first and the fourth issues. Maybe we'll have time during the course of the year to discuss the other ones as well. If one views the infection of another computer by a virus or wiping data as a hezek, how do we categorize that in terms of the obvious nezikin with obvious nafkaminas that we have between Karen, between Bor and Bor Adam Hamazik and H. Shlomo Duchovsky, Dayan Emeritus on the Beit Din HaGadol, has an article, one of the senior dayanim of the previous generation, has since retired. He has an article which is printed initially in Tchumin, volume Kafbeis, and printed in Sharit Sadek, one of the volumes which are the proceedings of Rabbi Rosan Aruzi's annual conference for dayanim. He has an article there entitled Ta Internet Bahalacha. One of the issues he discusses in Internet Bahalacha is this question: what is the culpability? How are we magir the nezek cause by someone who sends a virus to someone else's computer? So at first glance, he thinks that it should be nichlal in eish. It travels through electricity, through some kind of other power beyond the person himself. It starts in your property and goes and damages someone else's property. So if you send something from your computer to someone else's computer, your device to someone else's device, maybe that's like age, there's a koach acham urbo moving it along, and it's master of the shalom and goes to someone else. The Aruch HaShulchan's Hagdara of Eish, broadly speaking, along these lines, Simen Tav Yudches Os Beis, Tav Yudches Os Beis, he writes, Nezek HaEish Eino Dome L'chol Nizakit. The Nezek of Eish is unique in the following sense. All other Nizikin Ha'adam O Behema Osim Es HaNezek B'Fol Mamish Mokeret B'Shein V'Regel. So, other Nizikin, the perpetrator affects the Hezek himself.
Bar?
The boar, Shechafra Adam. So there, man digs the boar.
Are you sure?
I'm sorry?
Why sure?
Animal does
damage. The animal does the damage.
I'm
sorry? Your age doesn't do the damage of the Malkam Hezek. You dig the boar in the Malkam Hezek. Where you dig the boar is where the person falls in. And the animal, the other Mazik, are Mazik of the Malkam Hezek. Here, the action that you're doing is removed from the Malkam Hezek. If you light the fire here, and then it goes somewhere else. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Avol ha'eish, sarif me'atzmo, shelo b'malkam shasa eish, ha'idei dvarim she'eish nechas behem, v'holach l'meirachok, oh, Aidei Haruach. That's called Koach Achim Urbo. That's one of the defining characteristics of Eish, as we encounter in the beginning of the Perek. So anything which is holy, the Koach Achim Urbo, like Abna Sakina Maso, Shinicha Brosh Gogo, Panaflu Ruach Mitsuya, that's a tolda of Eish, right? That starts in one place, and then there's some other Koach that moves it to place B, where it affects the Hezek. And that's why culpability for Eish may be higher, because there's more of a likelihood that it's going to spread its effect.
In common?
Oh, good, we'll get there. Now this also relates, if it's Eish, you have to deal in terms of the sugya of Isha Misha Lchitza, Isha Misha Mamono, Kafes, which we'll get to soon. That even if, in theory, if Isha Mishim could be that Manda Isha Mishim Chitzo agrees Isha Mishim Amon also. If it's limited to Isha Mishim Chitzo, so then only the person who actually sends the Eish initially is going to be Chayef. If there is someone else that steps into the picture, then that absolves the first person of responsibility. But here, maybe the person that creates the virus is responsible for everything, because everything is a direct tosah of the original hezek. And then he says, well, maybe it's adam hamazik. The hezek is directly the result of a person's actions. Right? They're obviously not kamein or yichai for chamisha dvarim. If it's eish, you're only chai for the actual hezek. If it's adam mazik, you could be chai for shabbes. If there's vital malacha that's affected by the damage done, or other ancillary considerations, if it's adam mazik, you could be chai for the ancillary considerations as well. So maybe he says that's like shlichus yada ruka, that it's not eish, where you light the fire here and then some other koach brings it somewhere else. Maybe it's more direct, more of a direct adam mazik, because we don't view the electrical lapse as being significant. Nachman Azali pointed out Tabad Beish as well. So Tabad Beish, Machlokes, Tanai, we pass on like the Chachamim, Samach Alf, and the Beis of the Mishnah, that Tabad Beish is Pater. Now there's a difference between Rishus Shelo and Rishus Kaveira. But when it comes to your own Rishus, if you light a fire in your own Rishus, so then you're going to be Pater and Tamid across the board. If it's Rishus Acherim, then you're only Chai, then even the Chum will agree that you're Chai for that which is dark or Lahamit. So our viruses, our computer files considered to be Tamlin. So the Chasky assumes yes. It's a Tamlin in the computer. If you can't.
Right,
everything in the computer is Tamlin. You can't see anything. It's Tamlin. But it's definitely dark or Lahamit. So he thinks maybe that should be Nafkamina if it's Aish. Or not. Or other mamazik.
It's what dark ola.
If it's dark ola hatmin, so then you're going to be chai van tamun. If it's dark o. Right, if it's b'shus chavero, if it's dark ola hatmin, then you would be chai of. You'd be chai of on kale as well. So you're correct, right? So if. Even if it's Aish, right? Even if it's Aish, if you'll argue that it's dark Lahama, which it probably is, so then it could be there's not enough for me to end anyway. Right, Jeremy? Thanks. Good. What about Boar? So the Chosky thing said it's definitely not Boar. Because any case of boar or boar misgalgel is where the boar is mazik b'shevi al tasa. You passively fall into a boar. Even though you could argue by boar misgalgel, it's not really b'shevi al tasa. If you do set something into motion, where it's going.
Where it's
going
to go damage
the Shev
al-Tasa where it gets,
when it gets to the Shev al-Tasa. Right, that's still the Shev al-Tasa. Ultimately, even by Bor Misgalgel, there is an action that propels the Bor Misgalgel, but there is an action that propels the Bor Misgalgel, but ultimately the Hezek is still the Shev al-Tasa. Right, okay. So he argues that that's definitional, fundamental to Bor, is that the Hezek is always the Shev al-Tasa. As opposed to a virus, which is mazik b'kum v'aseh, and there's a kolachach murubo, and by boar you never have a kolachach murubo. Even by boar miskagel, I guess, wants it rest for rest, so then there's no kolachach murubo that's propelling the nezek at that time. Other historical reference to just be aware of is the famous Bor Misgalgel Din Torah Moshe Kolel in the summer of, I think, 1990, a little bit before my time. You know, Ben Moshe? So, there was someone had left a Gemara in the dining room, I believe, and someone had left a cup of water next to the Gemara, and someone else poured the cup of water on the Gemara. So there's a Din Torah. The Bez Din was Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Sabalovsky, who was the college counselor at the time, and Rabbi Shai Greenwald. And I just called Rabbi Sabalovsky before to refresh my memory what the outcome was. See, he pointed out that they didn't keep such careful Bezdin notes at the time. So what exactly, I wasn't there, it's a little bit before my time, but there was such a celebrated Din Torah that a Bor Misgalgel case in the early 90s. I think it might have been an article Gemara when the first article Gemara came out. It was around 1990, 1991, article Makas. Anyway, so the Chosky argues maybe it's Aish, maybe it's Adam Mamazik. Ravashi Weiss, by the way, thinks it's Adam Mamazik, Chayle Beis, Minchas Asher, Simon Kuf Yud Ches. Chayle Beis, Simon Kuf Yud Ches. But Rabbi Chosky thinks it's not going to be Bor because Bor is B'Shem Yal Tas and Bor has no Kochachim Urba. I saw a tshuva in a Sefer Kisos Leveis David, written by Rav David Yaakov Shmal, Rav and Dayan in Antwerp. I dealt with him with a get once. So he thinks, no, maybe it is, maybe it could be bor, nafkamina for niskei kelim, because after all, a computer is a kli. Okay, bigger issue to discuss, which we won't get to now, is where does this fit in the grama or garmi spectrum?
Where was the last
Kiss us, the base David.
No one thinks it's a Tzad HaShava.
Do you have a Nezek Lemaisa that's a Tzad HaShava?
You would not know.
The Maskan is a Gemara, La Lacha?
The Rosh, the
Rosh. Right, I don't think... I don't think Lemaskana there's a hybrid Nezek. Okay, so just briefly, just give you a couple more comments on the following topic, and then subtopic that we'll conclude. What do we say about Nezek that doesn't have fully objective value? So the Mishnah told us in Daf Yudalim Rebeis, Shum Kesef, Shava Kesef, Mai Shum Kesef, Amri Yehuda Shum Zelo Ye El Kesef. Rashi, Shayubez in Sham in Kama Shava Nezek Maramasayim the Kaki Shalima. So how do you evaluate culpability, liability for Nezek? Bezdin evaluates how much, what is the monetary value of the Nezek, and you pay the monetary value. But what happens where that monetary value is subjective or not as clear? Where something doesn't have a clear set price on the market. So Postman discuss various flavors, so to speak, of this. One issue discussed in Postman is, let's say, someone's mouthing your glasses. So you have a very specific prescription that will cost you $300 to replace, but your glasses are of limited value to anyone else who doesn't have your exact prescription, and you'd be hard-pressed to sell your specific glasses on the market.
Someone else was to buy those glasses,
right?
$300
for them
too. No, it doesn't matter
whether
how much
you. So that's the question.
Is it costing $1,000 anyway? If anyone were to buy any glasses, it costs $300.
Right. So is it replacing the damage that has the object that has been damaged, or is it giving you the money that's necessary to buy another object? We'll get to that, we'll flesh that out in a minute. And then the other question is, let's say you have something that has almost no market value, but is only of sentimental value. And a person has a photograph of his great-grandparents that's irreplaceable. So to him, it's worth the world, but you sell it on eBay, you won't get 2 cents. How do we evaluate something like that, where something's of sentimental value, but no objective value? So there's a famous Nesivos. Nesivos is in Simen Kuf Mem Ches, I think Sukkot and Beis. Simen Kuf Mem Ches. He writes, Nira d'davar she'eino shava ba'atzmo l'machro, v'likach damim ba'ado, so something which doesn't have intrinsic value that could be sold, but is of value to the individual himself, the mazik is not chayiv l'shali. What are his rayas? One of his rayas is from Tosfos in Ksuvos Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about the case of Tacha Lo Chaveiro, that you take someone else's food and stick it into the mouth of a third party. So what is your liability to replace that food that you stole from Reuven and put in Shimon's mouth? Tosfos writes, Dibur Maskul Tzvicha Lamed Amud Beis, that there's no chiyah for that hezek because that food is not a shavar pruta. Why isn't a shavar pruta? Try to sell chewed up food. No one's going to buy chewed up food. So that food is not a shavar puta. Isn't it worth something to the person who's eating it? Because it's not nimas to the person eating it. Anything that can't fetch a price at the moment is not considered inherently valuable, and therefore has no shovi when it comes to nezek.